From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. The House has approved a short-term funding measure to avoid a government shutdown by at least 2 weeks. NPR's David Wellner reports the bill also cuts government spending.
In getting this short-term measure, the House insisted that the funding levels that are currently in place be brought down by $4 billion. But to do that, they actually went after spending that was not going to happen anyhow. It was earmarks that were not going to be funded and programs that President Obama himself said were no longer necessary. That gave Republicans a way to save face in their promise to cut the spending. But also Democrats were on board with those spending cuts because they had been endorsed by the president himself.
NPR's David Wellner reporting. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he expects the Senate will approve the bill and send it to President Obama within the next few days. In a unanimous vote, the UN General Assembly has removed Libya from the organization's Human Rights Council for what it calls gross and systematic violations of human rights. In a separate resolution, the U.S. Senate echoed the sentiment of the UN, condemning the Libyan leader and for attacking his own people. The Senate resolution also calls for the UN to establish a no-fly zone over Libya. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says any move to control the skies over Libya would have to be done only after careful consideration as to the consequences on the region and the U.S. military. Other military officials say establishing a no-fly zone would first require Libya's air defenses to be taken out. Two key opposition figures in Tunisia resigned from the government Tuesday. Both had been welcomed into the new government as a show of political openness. NPR's David Green says their exit is the latest sign of instability in Tunisia, the country that inspired the revolution spreading across the Arab world.
The interim government in Tunisia seems less stable by the day. The prime minister, who had been an ally of the former president, resigned over the weekend, and demonstrators who are still in the streets took this as a positive sign because they've been calling for people who were allied with the former president to leave the government. But the most recent news is two other cabinet ministers stepping down were actually opposition figures who had been welcomed into the interim government as a display of political openness. And their exit has a lot of people here worried that this interim government is not really as open to dissenting opposition views as they suggested they may be.
NPR's David Green reporting from Tunis, Tunisia. Tensions in the Middle East are driving some stocks down and the price of oil up. Standard & Poor's chief economist David Weiss says depending on how long it takes for tensions to calm, gasoline and diesel prices could be affected for a long time.
This is very uncertain at this point. If things settle down, then oil prices should settle down, gasoline prices should settle down. But if there's a major disruption, in particular in the Persian Gulf, this could be just the beginning, and we could look back on $4 gasoline prices with nostalgia.
This is NPR News. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says deep cuts to public schools and local governments are necessary to help close a $3.6 billion hole in the state's budget. Under Walker's plan, schools and local governments would see a cut of $1.5 billion over the next 2 years. The governor says higher taxes and widespread layoffs and furloughs can only be avoided if lawmakers approve his controversial plan to eliminate most collective bargaining rights of public employees. The auto industry remains a bright spot in the economy. A 20% growth in car sales is helping boost manufacturing. But as NPR's Sonari Glinton reports, weakness in the housing sector continues to hold the economy back.
General Motors, Toyota, and Honda all saw sales booms last month. Ford and Chrysler sales were also up, but not by as much. The good news wasn't limited to the auto sector. A key indicator of manufacturing activity, the Institute for Supply Management's Manufacturing Index, came in stronger than expected. But weakness in the housing sector continues to hold the economy back. Overall construction spending fell by about 1%, with outlays for things such as office buildings and other commercial structures taking a fall also. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
So far, there are relatively few takers in the final payment offers from BP's oil spill compensation fund. The Associated Press is reporting that a review of records shows that final payment offers were made to more than 8,000 individuals and businesses over the past 2 weeks, but only about 2.5% of those offers have been accepted. Of the 204 claimants who have taken the money, the average payments equal slightly more than $12,000. In return, those accepting the money agree to give up their rights to sue BP and other parties for past, current, and future damages. I'm Jim Howard, NPR News, Washington.